Be'ezras Hashem, b'li neder, let's finish Shas together. Today's learning is dedicated to L'ilui Nishmas Avi Mori, Rav David Tzvi, and Rav Yosef. Today's daf is Sukkah, daf Chav Tes. We left off on the third line on Chav Tes Amid Aleph. Good morning, Shlomo David, Chana Cherech, Avi, Tzvika, and Reb Zalman. Here we go, Amar Rava, Mani, Mishtaya, and Reb Mordechai. Good morning, Reb Mordechai. Amar Rava. And who else just joined? Oh, Tzvika's on two devices. Okay. No, here he is. Amar Rava, Mani Mishtaya b'metal alta. So your drinking cups, after you finish drinking with them, you're allowed to leave them in the soap because they're not so messy. Mani Michla, your food plates, bar b'metal alta. Don't leave them in the sukkah because they smell disgusting and you don't want to have them hanging around the sukkah. Chatzpa, Vishachila, earthenware jug used for drawing water or a wooden jug used for drawing water after you use them. Bar mitzvah. So the minhag is not to leave those in the sukkah. So just like you wouldn't have them in your kitchen, you wouldn't have them in the house, you leave them outside the house because they're not usually left in there. So to leave them out of the sukkah. Ushraga, a candle of earthenware, b'metal alta. You're allowed to leave the earthenware candle in the sukkah. Va'amri la b'amri b'metal alta. Some people say, no, take that earthenware candle outside the sukkah. V'lo pliya, there's no machlokas. Ha b'sukkah gedola, ha b'sukkah katana. In a large sukkah, it's okay to have the candle. In a small sukkah, it's not okay to have a candle. Why is it not okay to have a candle in a small sukkah? Five opinions in Rishonim. To wit, says the five opinions. Taisvis, right over here, v'amri labayim v'tel alta, very simply, Taisvis says, the sukkah is going to burn if you bring a candle, lit candle, into a seven tefach wide sukkah. The Ritva says that you're going to have a fire in there, so you're not going to be able to use the sukkah. So it's like it's eino roi l'dir, it's a violation of teshu kein tadur, it's so small, and you have a fire in there, you're not going to be able to use it. The Rav Yah says it's going to be too small. It's going to be less than a sheer sukkah of usable space. Similar to the Ritva. The Rokach says, no, it's going to smell. That earthenware candle is going to smell, so it's like a dira srucha. You're going to want to bolt out of there. The Ri Milunil writes that the heat is going to be too much in the sukkah, in a small sukkah. So whatever svara you say, the Gemara, the Rishonim present five reasons why a candle does not belong in a small sukkah, says the Gemara. Yaradu gishamim. So the Mishnah said, if it rains, when are you allowed to leave the sukkah? If it rains, says the Gemara, Misha Tisrach, says the Mishnah, Misha Tisrach HaMikpa. When the soup gets spoiled by the rain. Tanavim to the rice, Misha Tisrach HaMikpa shall greasen. It's talking about a porridge made out of beans. So some say a bean porridge spoils very quickly. That is what Rashi says. Some say the opposite. A bean porridge takes a long time for it to spoil. The Meiri says, takes a long time, so even though you want to leave earlier, sorry, Charlie, you got to wait till your bean porridge is going to spoil. You got to tough it out in the sukkah until the bean porridge is going to spoil. Abaye was sitting in front of his Rebbe, Rav Yosef, in the sukkah. The wind blew, and leaves started blowing off the schach into the soup. Amalu, Rav Yosef, I'm out of here. Rav Yosef said to Abaye, I am out of here. Panuli mani me'acha. Take the kelim out of here. We're going inside the house. Amale Abaye. So the Talmud said to the Rebbe, what do you mean? But it's not raining enough that the porridge is going to spoil. It's just a couple of leaves. What's a couple of leaves in the soup? It's not a big deal. A couple of leaves fell in your soup. You're not allowed to leave yet. Amale. Lididi kemen danina datai kemisha tisach hamikva domili. Rav Yosef said to Abaye, I am very finicky. I have a very low tolerance for this. And therefore, one leaf in my soup, I'm out of here. I'm not waiting for a Misha Tisach HaMikpa. Now the Rishonim say, really? Is that a thing? So Rashi quotes from a Brisim Psachim. Yeah, the Tur. The Tur writes that, let's say a guy will say, I'm mitzdayer in the sukkah. Now 99.9% of the people have no problem. But you're mitzdayer, so the Torah says, It doesn't work like that. You can't just say, I'm mitzdayer. So the Acharonim ask, what do you mean? So this Gemara of Yosef is against that. Rav Yosef says, I've got to leave the sukkah before Mishatisach HaMikvah. So how do you understand this Gemara? So the Bach, in his commentary on the tour, gives an answer. He says, even in this case that Rav Yosef was mitzdayer, it's not like he's like so yotzei min haklal. There's a significant minority of people that also would not be happy with a leaf falling into the soup. He's not like a meshugana. It's like there's a significant minority of people. So that's considered to be a legit reason. When the Torah said you're not allowed, it can't be that like you're the only person in the world to be mitzdayer from this. But there is a significant minority. That's one answer of the Bach. Others say, if a guy is well known as a very finicky person, then he's allowed to leave the sukkah. But if he's not well known as that, he can't just make up his own mitzdayer. Let's continue. Interesting. Right. Yeah. We're always coming back to that, right, Mordechai? We're always coming back to Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef, he's a hero. He's a hero, right? He's my hero, too. He's my hero, too. There you go. Beautiful. Tana Rabbanan, our rabbis taught in the Braisa. Hayo ocha basukka v'yardu gishamim. Everybody knows this halacha. This is halacha that everybody knows. Everybody knows this one. You're in the middle of eating the meal. Uh-oh, it's raining. So you go into the house. 5 minutes later, sunny skies outside. Sorry, I'm already inside. I know that halacha. This is the one line that anybody who knows nothing about sukkah, they know this one. They know this halacha. Sorry, I'm inside already. I'm not schlepping back out into the sukkah now. That's Zemefer Shekamar. Hayo ocha basukka v'yardu gishamim. V'yarad, he came down from the sukkah. Right in those days, the sukkah was on the roof. So it always says V'yarad means he came out of the sukkah. Ein matrichin oso lalos ad shigmor sudaso. No, you don't have to go back to the sukkah until the meal is over. Why is that? So the Mefarshim say it's teshu kein tadur. Let's say your wife set up Shabbos lunch in the dining room and the air conditioning is not working in the dining room. It's 95 degrees outside. We've got to go into the den. It's air conditioned. So we're going to go into the den. So we go into the den now. So what are you going to say? Now the air conditioning turns on, we're going to stop the meal and go back into the dining room? You're not going to do that even in your house. So just like you wouldn't do that in your house, you don't have to do it in the sukkah either. That's what the Rishonim say. Actually, it's the Achronim. Chazon Yecheskel. Commentary on the Tosefta. I believe that's Rav Yecheskel Abramsky, if I'm not mistaken. Fine. Says the Gemara, "Hayo yashin tachas sukkah v'yardu gishamim." Let's say he was sleeping in the sukkah, it started raining. V'yard, so he went into the house. Ein machichin oso lalos ache ye or. You don't have to go back until it's morning. Ibailu ache ye or till you wake up, and it's no longer raining. Oh, ache ye or with an aleph until it's light outside. Toshma kanu your proof. Ache ye or with an aleph v'yala amara shachar. Tarte, what do you mean? It's a contradiction. Ye'or means nates. And Alam Rashachar is even before that. Elema, it should be with an ayin. Acha ye'or, till you wake up via Alam Rashachar. Anytime you wake up after Alos, then you got to go into the sukkah to start your day. Mashal ma'adar domeh. So the Mishnah said, if it rains on sukkahs, what is this a mashal to? To an eved that came to serve his master, and the master, an eved came to pour wine for the master. And the master takes a jug of water and splashes it in the Eved's face. Ibailu, mi shafach lemi. Who spilled water in whose face? Was it the master who spilled water in the servant's face? Or did the servant spill water in the master's face? Meaning it's a raya that the servant's avoda was no good. Says the Gemara, come on, read it carefully. Tashma. The sign of the Rabbi says, shafach lo rabo, kisan apadam amelo yefshi b'shimushach. That the master chucked a bottle of water in the Eved's face, and he says, I'm not interested in your service. Now, Rabosai, it was worth it to wake up just for the next thing I'm going to share with you. I'm sharing with you an amazing piece of Torah from the Gra, from the Vilna Gaon. Where did I see this Gra? Not that I just stopped reading the Vilna Gaon on Sukkah. It was in the bottom of the Art Scroll, which I don't usually read that much. I read the Masifta, but it happened to be that my Masifta was in one place just happened to see this. Listen to this Ma'ariv d'Gra, quoted by the article. The Gra asked the following question. If you read the Mishnah carefully, it seems not to make sense. What does it say? It's a mashal to an eved who's diluting wine for the master. He's pouring limzo kos l'rabbah. In those days, the wine was made up of one measure wine and two measures water. They would dilute the wine. When it talks about pouring wine, it calls it mosgin lo kos rishon. Mosgin means you dilute it. That's the way you poured the wine. You poured wine, then you poured water, you diluted it. So what does the Mishnah say? It's a mashal to an eved who's coming to pour wine for his master, and the master chucks water in the servant's face. Why does it change from wine to water? Right? If I'm coming to pour you wine, it should say, he poured me wine in my face. Or I'm coming to pour you water, and you poured me water in the face. Listen to this amazing pshat from the Gra. Listen to this. It was worth waking up for this. Says the Gra like this. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we know it's Yemei HaDin, and a lot of times, unfortunately, there's all kinds of gzeiras that are on the world that are given Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Sukkos, we have lulav, we have sukkah, we have so many mitzvos that could be Ma'or Hashem's rachamim, the midas harachamim. Sukkah is all about the midas harachamim. Rosh Hashanah and Kippur is midas adin. There's din, and sukkah is rachamim. So if Hashem doesn't let us observe the mitzvah of sukkah, He's taking away our ability to temper the din of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur with the rachamim of sukkah. He's not giving us that ability to temper the midas adin. Says the Gra, in the Kabbalah Svarim, I have no idea about the Kabbalah Svarim, but I'm going to take the Gra's word on this. Wine symbolizes, maybe Reb Zalman could help us with this, but wine means midas hadin, and water is midas harachamim in the Kabbalah Svarim. Wine is midas hadin, and water is rachamim. Wine is red, bloody, like blood. Blood red. Wine is red, and water says it's midas harachamim. So listen to this mashal. Says the Gra, what does the Mishnah mean? It's a mashal, and Eved is coming to limzo kos l'rabbah. What's he coming to do? He's trying to dilute the wine with water. He's bringing water to dilute the wine for his master. And what does the master do? He takes the water and pours it out, so you can't dilute the wine. He pours out the water. You brought water to dilute the wine. I'm going to take your water and spill it out. That's the rain on Sukkos. I'm not going to let you use the mitzvah of sukkah to dilute the din of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So that's why the master was taking the water that the servant came to pour into the wine, meaning that the rachamim was going to dilute the midas hadin, the wine, a little bit. So the master takes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the water that you used, and he spills it out. You can't dilute the wine. The wine is still going to be midas hadin. That's the pshat. When it rains on Sukkos, Hashem is telling you that you can't use the water to dilute the wine. You can't use the rachamim to dilute the midas hadin. I thought it was a beautiful pshat from the Gra. Okay, let's continue. Tana Rabbana. Now, from now till the end of the parak, we're going to learn all about all of your favorite topics. Solar and lunar eclipses. Exactly the topic that you were opening up the Gemara and Sukkah in order to learn about. Now, so the Gemara is going to say that a solar eclipse is a bad sign. So all the Mepharshim ask, why is it a bad sign? It's built into nature. It happens every 28 years. It happens every few years. The scientists, they know exactly when it's going to happen. How can you tell me it's a sign that we're doing bad stuff? It happens every time. So some Rishonim say, it just means, yeah, it's natural in the Bria, but it just means during those times, because the sun is blocked, it's a natural time that you have to be a little bit more careful because it has potential for bad stuff. Others, the Yaros Tavash, Rabbi Yonasan Abishitz, I think, wrote the Yaros Tavash. He writes that, no, it's not referring to an eclipse that's programmed. Sometimes you have these other events that are not predictable, like sunspots. You have these sunspots where the sun gets weakened, and that's a raya that Klal Yisrael is not behaving the right way because the light in the world is less. It's not a pre-programmed time. It just happened because of, you couldn't predict it. Some say it's similar to a rainbow, right? A rainbow, even though the Ramban writes by rainbows, even though it's something that happens because of science, but it's showing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu really meant to do something bad, but he's holding himself back. So let's learn everything you ever wanted to know about solar eclipses, but we're afraid to ask. Says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanan, Bizman She'acham Aloke. When you have a solar eclipse, Simen Ra L'chol HaOlam Kulo. It's a bad simit to the whole world. It's like a king who made a suda for his servants, v'hiniach panas lefnem, and he put these beautiful chandelier, beautiful light, that's the sun, so that there should be a light, about a very bright and exciting and positive party. Kosalim, he got angry at them, amar lavdo, told panas lefnem, v'hoshiva b'choshach, take away the light, put them in the darkness, I don't want them partying anymore. So if Hashem makes the sun lower, so then, in eclipse, so it shows that he's angry. Tanya, Rav Meir Omer calls man Shemor Slokin. If the sun or the moon or the stars are not shining brightly, Simon Ralis Onem Shel Yisrael. It's a bad simon for the enemies of the Jewish people. When it says the enemies of the Jewish people, it means the Jewish people themselves. It's just Lushan Sagi Nohar. We don't want to say it's a bad sign for the Jews, so we say a bad sign for the enemy of the Jews. But it doesn't really mean that. Uh-oh. Okay, let's see if this works. Okay, somebody called me again. Oh, the recording is still recording. Good. Okay. Simon Ralis Onem Shel Yisrael. It's a bad simon for the Jewish people. Why? Klal Yisrael knows that when punishment comes to the world, who gets it first? Klal Yisrael gets it first. Why is that? Because Hashem expects a lot out of us. He expects more from us than he expects from the other nations. So if he's angry, he's going to give it to us first. If we don't do well, it's worse than everybody else doesn't do well. We're going to see at the end of the Gemara. If we do what we're supposed to be doing, then nothing's going to happen. But if everybody's doing bad, we're going to get it worse than everybody else. Mashal l'sofer shepala beis ha-sefer ritzu b'yado. It's like the Rebbe who comes to class with his beating up stick, like in the old days when that was okay. When the Rebbe would come with his belt. So who would cringe when the Rebbe would come with his belt? Who would cringe? The class troublemaker. He was the one who would cringe. Mi doeg, who gets upset when the Rebbe comes with his belt? Mi sharaga lilkos b'chol yom v'yom hudoi. The guy who gets the makas every day. The class troublemaker knows, the Rebbe's going to look for me. Why did troublemaker get it? Because the Rebbe knew he had the biggest potential for good. Tana Rabbanan, bizman she'acham aloke, when the sun is weak, Simen ra'al ovdi kochavim. That's bad for the goyim. Levan aloke, if the moon is eclipsed, Simen ra'al sonem shel Yisrael. That's bad for the Jews. Why? We have the lunar calendar, ovdi kochavim l'chama, and the goyim have the solar calendar. Loike b'mizrach, if the sun is weak when it's in the east, Simen ra'al yoshei mizrach. It's bad for the people who live in the east. B'marav, if the sun is bad in the west, Simen ra'al yoshei marav. It's bad for those who live in the west. B'emtza harakia, if the sun is in the middle of the rakia, simen ra l'chol olam kulo. It's bad for the whole world. Panav domen l'dam, if the sun is a little reddish, cherev bal olam. Blood of sword is going to come to the world. L'sak, if it's blackish, chitzei rov bal olam. People's faces are going to be blackened from famine. L'zu, if it's got a little red and a little black, cherev v'chitzei rov bal olam. Both are going to come to the world. Laka b'knisaso, if the sun is weak as it leaves the world, peranas sho'alavo. So then there's going to be punishment, but it's going to take a while to come. Just like the sun is weak at the end of the day, b'yitziyaso, if the sun is weak when it first rises, b'maharas lavo, that means punishment is quick to come to the world. V'yesho m'chilef ha-dvarim, some say it's the opposite. If the sun is weak at the end of the day, it means it's going to come quickly because it's about to leave. If it's the beginning of the day, then you got a lot more time. V'ein l'cha kolum avum ha-shaloka, she'ein Elohe Eloke ima. Any nation that gets punished, so its angel in Shamayim also gets punished in Emar. Uvachal Elohei Mitzrayim Esesh Fatim. God didn't just punish the Egyptians, he even punished the angel of the Egyptians. Uvizman Shisrael Sasan Shamakom. However, if we do what we're supposed to do, ain't no natural phenomenon going to be able to affect us. Uvizman Shisrael Sasan Shamakom. Ain't Misyarim Mikalelo. We have no reason to be upset or be scared about any solar, lunar eclipse, nothing. If you don't learn from the ways of the Goyim, then you don't have to be worried about the solar eclipse and the lunar eclipse. The Goyim should be upset. The sun eclipses because of four averas. If a big Talmud Chacham dies and he doesn't get a proper hesped, a woman gets raped, an engaged woman gets raped and nobody helps her, she yelled and everybody heard it and nobody did anything, like the famous Kitty Genovese case in Kew Gardens in the I think it was the 60s or 70s, Look it up, Google it if you don't know what I'm talking about. Kitty Genovese, woman was stabbed to death on a street corner in Kew Gardens, and plenty of people were around. They heard her screaming, and nobody did anything. Nobody did anything. Everybody said, somebody else will take care of it. Val Mishkav Zachor, homosexual relations. So that causes solar eclipses. Val Shnei Achin Shnishbach Domin Kechad, two brothers killed on the same day. So I was giving the shiur this morning, and Mati Shrek asked me, what kind of four random things are this, that this causes the sun to eclipse? And what kind of four random sins? Like, what's the connection over here? So, Mati is in good company, because Rashi says the same thing. Rashi writes over here, Shiloshama tam madua dafka dvarim elu gormim lelikoi hachama. Rashi says in Dibamasal Bishvil, Lo Shamati Tam Badavar. I have no idea why these four things cause. The Achronim give a number of Biurim, and they're in the back of my Gemara, but I didn't have a chance to look it up. But in the next one, I do have a Svara. The next one, he does give a reason. Uvishal Abar Dvarim Ma'oros Lokin. For four things, the moon and the stars don't shine as brightly. Alkosei plaster, people who use forged documents, they do it in secrecy. Val miide edus sheker, people who lie, testimony in bezdin, and they do it in a way that you can't tell that they're lying. So they do things in secret. Val magade b'mdaka b'eretz Yisrael, people who raise goats and sheep in the land of Israel, that they're going to graze in other people's lands, and they're going to say, oh, there's nothing I could do about it. Al kotetei ilanas tovas, people who chop down fruit trees. That's an iser d'oraisa. So here, in the Chazon Yecheskel, where Yecheskel Abramsky writes, all four of these do their averas in hiding. They hide their averas. So the moon and the stars that are out at night, they are loke. Uvishul abad varm nixte balibatim nimsar l'malchus. For four averas, wealthy people lose their money to the government. If they leave already paid up documents in their possession so that they collect from them again, even though they already collected from them. If they lend with interest, they're going to lose their money. Everybody respects the rich people. Everybody respects the rich people. So the rich people, if they see sin going on in the town, they should protest it. They have the ability to protest because everybody loves the rich people. Everybody likes hanging out with everybody, listens to everything they have to say. So if you're a rich guy, and you see how there's going on, you got to protest it because ain't no one going to go argue with you. You got a lot of money. So if you were able to be moche, to protest, and you didn't protest, it's like you did that avera. Got to love these people. They pledge to give lots of money to tzedakah, and then they don't honor the pledge. They don't honor the pledge. Oh, I'll sponsor this. I'm going to sponsor this. I'm going to sponsor. Then they never pay up. You see these people, some of their names are on every sponsorship. They never pay up. They just keep sponsoring. It's great. I'll sponsor this. They never pay up the pledge. It's great. Just keep sponsoring. Amar Rav. Bishvil arba'a dvarim nichsei balei batim yotzim l'timayon. For four averos, the possessions of the balei batim, rich people lose their money. Al kovshei schar sachir. People who don't pay their workers on time. They delay the payment, you're going to lose your money. If you don't pay your worker at all, you deny owing the guy money, you don't pay them at all, you're going to lose your money. People who remove the responsibility that's on their shoulders and place responsibility on other people's shoulders. And the fourth reason why wealthy people lose their money is because of their arrogance. And please remember this line forever. V'gasus haruach keneged kulam. My favorite line of today's daf. Right? Everybody knows v'talma Torah keneged kulam. It's interesting. My niece and nephew are getting married in 2 weeks here in Eretz Yisrael. I'm going back to America on Monday. I'm supposed to go back to Eretz Yisrael in 2 weeks. But they just changed the rules here in Eretz Yisrael that everybody has to do a 7-day quarantine, even if you have a vaccine. Even if you do all your tests, I'm not going to be able to go to the wedding now. As of a week ago, I was planning on going to the wedding, but now I can't go because they just changed the rules. Everybody has to quarantine 7 days. So I can't miss 7 days of work. So I was going for 1 day there itself for a wedding in 2 weeks. Anyway, so my nephew this morning, my future nephew, who I barely ever met, Baruch Hashem, this summer, I got to meet him a little bit. He's getting married to my niece, my brother-in-law. My brother and sister-in-law's kid, daughter, is getting married in 2 weeks here in Eretz Yisrael. They live here. So this morning, my nephew came over to ask me about advice for marriage. I don't even know the guy. He came over to me for advice for marriage. Very, very beautiful. Very, very sweet. Very sweet. Uncle Yissi, you have any advice for me? You have any advice for me for marriage? So I said, it's today's Daf Yomi. My whole advice to you marriage is 4 days. Four words. You're a yeshiva bachar, so you heard the words V'talmud Torah K'neged Kulam your whole life. Every morning you say Talmud Torah K'neged Kulam. But nobody knows these words. Nobody knows. This is the most important thing. V'gasus haruach K'neged Kulam. That's my motto in life. V'gasus haruach K'neged Kulam. The worst thing in the world for marriage, for any relationship, for any, is arrogance. Arrogance is the worst. Arrogance is the root of all sins between man and God, and it's the root between all sins between man and man. Because, and the next line, Aval ba'anavim ksiv, but about humble people it says, va'anavim yirshu aretz, v'sangal arov shalom. And humble people will have a joyous life because their whole life will be peaceful. Va'anavim yirshu aretz, and the humble people will inherit the land, v'sangal arov shalom. And they're going to always keep their possessions. Wealthy people become arrogant, you lose your possessions. But if you're a humble person, then you're going to keep your possessions. This is the ABCs of marriage, the ABCs of every Ben Adel HaMakom, ABC Ben Adel HaChavera. V'gasus haruach k'neged kulan. We have to remember, whenever we remember V'talmud Torah k'neged kulan, we also have to remember, V'gasus haruach k'neged kulan. That's the worst of everything. It's the cause of every bad midah. It's the cause of everything bad is arrogance. It's the cause of every bad midah, every aveira ben adam lamakom, every aveira ben adam lachavero. It's the whole worst thing in Judaism and the worst thing in life. Forget Judaism, is arrogance. So that's what I told the chassan. Those are my four words of advice for you. Gasus haruach k'neged kulan. It's not about you. It's about the other person. When I asked for Mordechai Willig for advice before my marriage, I asked him for advice for Mordechai Willig. He says, I only have one piece of advice for you before marriage. One piece of advice. Whatever your wife says, just do it. Don't ask any questions. Don't ask why. Don't ask hi. Don't ask how high. Just jump. Whatever your wife says to do, just do it. Just do it. It's been the best advice anyone ever gave me for marriage. Here we go. The third parak. Lulav HaGuzzel. Ah. Oh, we're ending Art Scroll 1, right? We finished Art Scroll 1, now we're up to Art Scroll 2. Okay, I'm in the Masifta, so now I got the Masifta that goes from Chaf to Lamed Zayin, so I got it made in the shade. Here we go. Actually, this Masifta goes from Chaf to Lamed Zayin. Then the other one I had went from Lamed to the end, so I'm good. Here we go. Lulav HaGuzzel VaYovesh Pasul. A stolen lulav or a dried out lulav? It's so dried out that, like mamish, it crumbles when you touch it. It's mamish dried out, so they're both pasul for two different reasons. See you in a minute. Lulav hagazel vayavesh pasul. So a stolen lulav or a dried out lulav are both pasul. A stolen lulav is pasul because on the first day it's pasul because you don't own it. On the second through seventh days, it's possible because it's a mitzvah abba b'aveira. So you're not yotzei the mitzvah. Yavesh is possible. A machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. Take a look at Rashi. Yavesh, debeinan mitzvah mehuderes techsiv zekeli v'anveyu. What? It's possible because of zekeli v'anveyu? Zekeli v'anveyu is a din l'chatchila that you have to have a nice lulav, a nice... But b'dievet, if it's not nice, it works. That's Tosfos kasha. Tat Tosfos. Lo yavesh possible. Quotes Rashi. Below Kamosh appears are conscious. Tosis gives a different answer. Zakei the Mavia. That's just a din l'chadchila. And the Gemara later on says that the reason why Yavish is possible is because we have a hekesh that we compare lulav to Esrog. Just like Esrog was pre-ate Hadar, so too lulav has to be Hadar, and Yavish is not Hadar. So Salvechik has a beautiful defense of Rashi. quotes a Gemara in Gittin. The Gemara in Gittin says sometimes Zekele Manveyu is Makiv even b'di'evid. Where is that? Like by a Sefer Torah. A Sefer Torah that's Menumer. Let's say you forgot to have Kavana. When you were writing Hashem's name in the Sefer Torah, there's a halacha. It's halacha when you're writing Hashem's name in the Sefer Torah. There's a halacha that you have to have a special kavana to be mekadesh the shemo. So let's say you wrote the whole Sefer Torah, you forgot to have kavana by the shem, that it's l'shem kedushas shemos. So the Gemara has one opinion that says you could now take the quill and rewrite each of the shem Hashem's, go over it again. But the other opinion says no, that's menumer. That's going to be a spotted Sefer Torah. So it's a lack of hadar because it's going to be like a Talmud Gemara, like with the raised Rashi's. It's going to be like the raised Shem Hashem. It's going to be black. It's going to be blacker there than the rest of the Sefer Torah. So the Sefer Torah is not hadar. So it's puzzle. So instead of Salvechik, what do you see from that Gemara? That sometimes Zekele Manveu is Ma'akiv even b'di'evit. There's a Chasam Sofer. Oh, Rav Mordechai, we had to talk about the Chasam Sofer. There's a Chasam Sofer that says Zekele Manveu. Where are those areas that hider mitzvah is puzzle, even midrabanan, even ma'akiv, even b'di'evid, where you're talking about the name of Hashem. So in the Sefer Torah, that's mamish, zekeli vanveu. This is Hashem, and I have to beautify him. So usually, by a regular chefsel shem mitzvah, it's just din l'chadchila. But where it's the shem Hashem, it's ma'akiv, even b'di'evid. So like by a carbon, right, by a carbon, we said if a carbon has a mum, if a carbon has a mum, so it's ma'akiv b'di'evid, and he says he has a long arichas. That's right. My son doesn't like when you say long arichas. Arichas means it's long. Okay, he has a long piece. He has a long piece of salvation. He has a beautiful piece where he discusses that a lulav. There's a Rashi. There's a gorgeous Rashi. Laman Vavam Beis Rashi says, why is lulav? Why do you need to have hadar by a lulav? Because b'pnei shechal shem shamayim al halulav. Whoa. That's not the way we drew this up in practice. Oh, boy. Hold on one second. Oh, sorry about that. Chal Shem Shemayim on the lulav. So the Rashi on Lamed Vavam and Beis says that a lulav, Rav Salvechik develops this beautiful idea that because a lulav is used to praise Hashem with the Na'anuim during Hallel, since the lulav is used to praise Hashem with Na'anuim during Hallel, even though the Na'anuim are not Ma'akib with the Eved, really, the Na'anuim, you're allowed, I mean, you don't have to do the Na'anuim. You're Yotzi just picking up the lulav and putting it down. You're Yotzi the mitzvah. But since part of the main mitzvah of lulav is to shake it during Hallel, so this is like, lulav is like a carbon. We're going to see this a few places in the Masechta. That a lulav is mamish like a carbon. It's like the Gemara says you wave the lulav up and down and forward and backward to prevent the bad winds and the bad rains. So lulav is, so therefore, Rav Salvechik said that hadar by a lulav, Rashi holds, Zekeli vanveu. It's a chefza of kiddush shem shamayim. It's a chefza that used for halal. Since you use it for halal, so hider mitzvah is ma'akev even b'di'evid by a lulav. It's an exception to the rule. Just like a sefer Torah, just like a karban, that's shem Hashem is a karban. So too the lulav is used for shem Hashem, and therefore it's ma'akev. The hadar is ma'akev even b'di'evid. He has a lot of rise to this. This yisod, right? We know that a lulav has to be four tefachim. The Gemara says it's three tefachim. We're going to learn it in one line. We're going to learn the end of the Mishnah. Lulav sheishu shlosha tefachim plus one kedei l'naneabo. Part of the shir. The question is, what do you mean? If the nanuim are not makim b'di'evid, how can you tell me it has to be four tefachim in order to do the nanuim? That's a shir midoraisa. But the Nanum are not midoraisa. How can you tell me he needs a fourth tefach in order to do the Nanum, which is only a din bishleimusa, but you're yotzi without doing the Nanum? Said of Salvechik, even though the Nanum are not maki b'di'evit, even though you're yotzi just picking up the lulav, putting it down, you don't have to shake it to be yotzi, but the shear of lulav to be a shear midoraisa has to have the ability to be able to do the Nanum. Even though the Nanum are not ma'akiv, it's part and parcel of the mitzvah. So that's part of this Shem Shamayim, part of the lulav that's got to be able to do the Na'anuim. You got to be able to do the Na'anuim, even though if you don't do the Na'anuim, it's not Ma'akib b'di'evid. So these are some of Rav Salvechik's proofs. There's a lot of Rambams that prove this, that the lulav has this special status. So Hidr Mitzvah is Ma'akib b'di'evid. But Tosa says differently. Tosfos says, no, it's a din in Hadar. It's just like an Esrog. You have to have Hadar. Others say, right, there's a Raiva that says that a lulav that's Yavish is like a dead lulav. Quotes Yerushalmi. It's like it's dead. It's like a Baal Mum. It's not a lulav. It's not a lulav b'chal. A lulav is Yavish. It's not a lulav at all. Because Hadar is Ma'akib b'dayeved via lulav, like Rashi says. Okay, let's do a little bit more here. A lulav that's worshipped as Avodah Zarah, or it's part of a city that's destroyed because most of the people of the city worshipped Avodah Zarah, pasul. It's pasul. Why? Ksuse michtas shiure. It has no shear. It's like it's destroyed. Avodah Zarah, you have to burn it, and an ir nidachas has to be burnt, so it's like it's not there. So it's lacking in the shear. A lulav has to be four tfachim, and this is zero tfachim because it's going to be burnt. We'll see that in the Gemara. Niktam Rosho, if the top of the lulav is chopped off, Nifritzu Olav, the leaves are separated from the spine, Pasul. Nifridu Olav, if they just got spread out from the spine but they're still attached, that's kosher. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Yogdenel Melamala. Rabbi Yehuda says it's only kosher if you tie them together. Tzini Hara Barzel, if you have a certain type of lulav that grows in this place, Hara Barzel, where the leaves, instead of like a normal lulav where all the leaves are bunched up together, you have one leaf, and at the end of one, the next one starts. As long as there's no area that has no leaves, so that's ksheros. Lulav sheyesh bo shlosha tfachim, kedel ananebo, kosher. A lulav that has three tfachim, and the Rashi and the Gemara understands, three tfachim, plus one more to shake it, meaning a total of four, that is kosher. Ah, even though nanuma, not mido raisa, nevertheless, so how can you say it's pasul if it doesn't have kedel ananeah? Since the chacham were misakin, you have to be menaneah the lulav, so it's pasul if it's not royal in yanua. So says the stei chemed. And therefore the Rid writes, b'shas adchak, if you have a lulav only three tefachim, b'shas adchak, you be yotzei b'dayavid. Wow. Others disagree. Chasam Sofer writes, since we know that you need to have three tefachim plus a fourth, less than this is not a lulav. Shiur halacha Moshe Misinai. So the nanum is halacha Moshe Misinai. So it's got to be four. Okay, let's continue. Says the Gemara. Kapasik Tatani, the Gemara seems to say it without reservation across the board. Loshna Yantav Rishon, Loshna Yantav Sheni. Loshna Biyantav Rishon, Loshna Biyantav Sheni. That Gazel and Yavesh are puzzled not only on the first day. Well, first we're talking about Gazel. And Yavish, not only in the first day, but even Yontav Sheni. Yontav Sheni doesn't mean Yontav Sheni Shagalos, it means Chol HaMoed. First day, Chol HaMoed. And the second day, and the third day, and the fifth day, and the all 7 days. That's what it means. That says Gemara, Bishlama, Yavish. I understand why Yavish is Pasul all 7 days. Hadar Be'inan Veleka. So Lulav has to be Hadar, and it's not. So it's not even a Lulav. It's Pasul all 7 days. And Hadar, you need all 7 days. Ella, Gozel, but a stolen Lulav. Bishlam Yontav Rishon Dixiv Lachem. I understand why Yontav Rishon Gazel is Pasul, because it says Lachem, you have to own it. Mishel Lachem. Ela B'Yomtav Sheni. However, on the second and third and fourth and fifth and sixth and seventh day of Sukkot, Amai, why is a stolen lulav Pasul? Amai lo, why you're not Yotze? Am Rabbi Yochanan, Mishem Rabbi Shemen Yochai. Rabbi Yochanan says, Name Shem Yochai. If you try to be yotzi lulav with the mitzvah lulav with the stone lulav, it's a mitzvah babaver. Shneamar, as the pasuk says, va'aveisim gozel v'sapiseach v'sachola. If you bring a stolen carbon or an animal that's missing a leg or it's sick, is Hashem going to want that as a carbon? No, gozel dumi depiseach. We compare a stolen one to one missing a leg, mapisech lesei takanta, just like an animal that's missing a leg and ain't ever going to grow back. So it's never going to be a kosher or a carbon. Af gozel lesei takanta. So to a stolen lulav, you can never use a stolen carbon, a stolen animal. You can never use it as a carbon, and you can never use it as a lulav. Here you see, by the way, the Gemara compares carbon to lulav because a lulav is a type of a carbon. Loshna lefneyish, loshna laachayish. No difference between before the owner has given up hope from giving it back And even after the owner has given up hope of giving it back, that the gazlan acquires it in a certain degree, nevertheless, it's still pasul. Okay, we will have to come back to this. We'll have to come back to this tomorrow. I mean, I'll just read it. I'll just read it quickly. We'll come back to tomorrow. We'll discuss Bez Hashem mitzvah babavera and Yish Kani Bez Hashem in tomorrow's daf. Everyone should have a wonderful day.